We've been savoring the delights of growing in understanding of the Holy Mass, of what it is we do when we pray in this way. 2 weeks ago, the beginning of the Mass, the introductory rites explained. Last week, Deacon Doug beautifully broke open what happens when God's word, the telling of the stories, God's story, is proclaimed. This weekend, we move to the heart of the Mass. After the intercessions are read, we customarily sit for the preparation of the altar and the gift. Sitting is a posture of receiving. It's a posture of thinking, of considering, of pondering. Having listened to God's word, as it were, God's offering to us, God revealing himself to us. This is the moment of the Mass where we present our lives to God. In addition to bread and wine, we also share and bring forward money. And this is not some dirty or some greedy action. Money is a part of the fruits of our labors. And in sharing our money, we further share ourselves for what? For the work of the church. That is, we make possible through our offering continuing charity and evangelization that others can come to know the living God. Well, Jesus, friends, Jesus instituted spiritual worship, about which we hear in the gospel, as opposed to the bloody worship of animal sacrifices. Following Jesus' own instruction, every Sunday at Holy Mass, we offer ourselves as living sacrifice, as living offering to God. And as the gifts are brought forward, it's as if we are all praying through this action, let it be done to me according to your word. The priest, and if present, the deacon, receives the gifts of bread and wine, places them on the altar. And on the altar, it's as if in the bread and the wine, our very lives are presented to God. All of our efforts, all of our desires, all of our hopes, all of our struggles presented there through bread and wine. We place ourselves into the hands of Christ by placing them into the hands of the priest who makes the offering to God on our behalf. The action says to God, do something good with us. Blend our incomplete and our broken lives into your divine life. The little moments at the altar that initiate this part of the Mass, they're actually very ancient words and actions. The priest picks up the bread and makes an initial offering of ourselves, of us to God. And if the community is still singing, as we typically do here on the weekend, these words are spoken by the priest inaudibly. Otherwise, the priest prays them aloud, and then the community responds in a confident acclamation to the initial offering with, "Blessed be God forever." And then something similarly is said and done with the wine. Perhaps you noticed that the priest or the deacon, when present, pours a little water into the wine. When this is done, words again are prayed inaudibly. By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. Friends, the diluting of wine was a common practice in the ancient world. Early on, however, Christians came to understand the accepted cultural practice more spiritually. Wine represents divinity. Water represents humanity, which only is completed when joined or coupled with Christ's divinity. Then the priest will turn and walk to the side of the altar where he stands and washes his hands while again inaudibly praying a verse from the Psalms, "Lord, wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." In action, necessary for practical reasons in the early church, as the community's offering was not through money, but through food, through livestock, and through other items that could be dispersed among the community according to needs. And then the priest, having presented, having offered our lives on behalf of everyone to be joined to the supreme and eternal sacrifice of Christ, the community then will rise to their feet, a posture of attentiveness and engagement, and respond with a short prayer, asking God to accept the sacrifice that is offered for us through the hands of the priest. The priest then voices a short prayer over the gifts prepared atop the altar. And although the words vary every Sunday, this short prayer always mentions the gifts that we present and humbly asks for their transformation and for ours. And then we move into the greatest prayer of all. Jesus, his Last Supper, is the first holy mass. That's where it begins, and he begins it. It's not invented by the church. It's instituted by Christ. It's there that Jesus instructed his church to do what he did and to say what he said in remembrance of him. And since then, my brothers and sisters, every generation has prayed according to his instructions in memory of him, wanting to encounter no less than the living God who generously presents himself to us at every Mass. First, the priest speaks to the people in an exchange of words. Then the priest, on behalf of the people, speaks to God. The preface dialogue reaches new heights in praise to our God, and we dare to acclaim at the end of this section the heavenly hymn resounding, "Holy, holy, holy." And in this Lenten season, using the ancient words, "Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus." And then posture change again, indicating a different movement. We humbly and we reverently kneel or sit if unable to kneel. And the priest remains standing alone, arms outstretched. Again, taking up the prayer directly to God, "Christ is coming." Our posture says that. The bread and the wine will soon be changed into the very body and blood and soul and divinity of Christ Jesus. We actively participate in what Christ is accomplishing and doing so on our behalf. And several Eucharistic prayers are possible to pray, and the priest selects one for each Mass. In them all, the priest first calls down the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord, the giver of life, and then a very precise and specific event in the life of our blessed Lord is retold, namely his supper with his disciples the night before he died. Now, we don't recount everything that was said and done, but only two specific moments. One involving bread and the other involving wine. The priest recounts the story with words and gestures, and at first, The priest tells the story in the past tense, remembering what occurred. Jesus took, blessed, broke, and gave. And then suddenly, we realize the past event completely floods the present reality and what we are doing right now. Over the bread that people have brought, your offering, your lives that are presented to God, the priest then prays Christ's own words in his voice. Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you. Then the priest falls silent, and bells are heard that heighten our sense of awe at God's miracle. The priest genuflects behind the altar in adoration to the living God who now is present in the Holy Eucharist. Our earlier plea to the Holy Spirit that began this prayer to come and to transform our gifts, my brothers and sisters, it has happened. And then something similar occurs with the wine. What Jesus did at the Last Supper, he does again and again and again at every Holy Mass. By means of bread and wine, our lives are transported into the only story in all of history in which humanity can possibly find its meaning and its fulfillment, transported into the very death and resurrection of our blessed Lord Jesus. The priest speaks and acts on behalf of everyone, of the people. The Holy Spirit shapes and supports our prayer. And even as we are moving closer to God in our prayer, expressing our desire to offer ourselves to him, God is sweeping into our midst with the sea of divine love, with a passion that is utterly unimaginable for every one of us. And the Eucharistic prayer, it concludes magnificently by praising God for what God has done. The priest and, if present, the deacon lift high the bread and the wine. Remember, the bread and wine, your offering of your lives through your priest. The bread and the wine that have been holy and completely transformed as the body and blood of Christ in the form of the one true and lasting sacrifice that Christ has made for us and for our salvation. And to all that Christ Jesus has done, to all that has happened in our midst, the assembly cries out, Amen. So be it. Of course, we know that this Amen, which in the Missal is called the Great Amen, we know it never ceases. For during every Mass, it is, as it were, as if we were spliced into the eternal Amen, the one that never diminishes, the one that we shall sing forever. We sing at this moment in the Holy Mass.